Stand by for an urgent bulletin.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Here we go. Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
My job is to run this show. I'm as confused as I've ever been.
And Jason Duda. For today, anyway.
Man, I'm so much smarter than I get credit for. Or that I give myself credit for.
That sounds like a lethal combination.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Stand by for action.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. It's Bob Lutz, Jason Duda in today. Jeff, somewhere doing something. That's all I know. Duda's here on a cold day. Again, wearing shorts.
It's not that bad out. It's not windy.
Pretty chilly.
It's a little cold, but not terrible. Yesterday was worse. Today's not that bad. The sun's out. Go out. Enjoy the day.
Yeah, it's not too bad. 36 degrees. We'll take that.
No wind, sun.
Tomorrow, a little chillier. 29 for the high. But then on Friday, 43 degrees.
What's Saturday?
Then 41, then 36, then into the 50s briefly next week, and then back into the 40s, and then February 4th and 5th into the low 30s. So it's winter. Tired of winter. Tired of the ice and the snow.
It's only been a few weeks. It hasn't been that long.
Yeah, but we're not from Canada.
Yeah, but still.
We don't like it. We like the snow and then it to be gone in a day or two.
Well, that's not
basically
happening.
What we like.
But it's not happening right now for you.
No, but it usually does.
But it's sticking
they're
around.
No, they canceled an NBA game postponed. An NBA game tonight in New Orleans because of snow. And you're trying to tell me that there's not something crazy going on with climate?
Well, there's something going
on. Come
on,
people.
There's something happening.
Just pay attention.
I think it's warmer back home right now than it is here.
New Orleans. They're canceling a game because of snow.
That's crazy.
Houston, I saw a friend of mine on Facebook. They made snowmen in Houston.
Is that unusual?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
You know it's unusual. Don't play dumb. No, we're not doing that.
Like they've never had it before, though? They've had to have had snow.
I think they've maybe once in a... Once in a generation, they get this kind of snow. And I don't even know that. I've never heard of snow in Houston, Texas, which is roughly 900, 800 miles south of here. That doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's kind of crazy because it's just about the same temperature back home, 30 hours north of here right now.
No,
which is like a blistering sunny day. Back home in January.
Temperatures are one thing, but for it to snow, I gotta check what the deal is.
What, you're gonna just pull something up on your phone that'll explain everything?
Well, I'm gonna look at New Orleans. Right now it's 33 degrees and sunny in New Orleans. They probably don't have many days where it's 33 degrees. Now, they're getting a nice warm-up. Oh, my goodness. Suck it up, New Orleans.
See?
It was 29 yesterday, and they had snow. 34 today, 46, 50s, 60s. It's going to be 72 degrees there on January 30th. So they're going to get through it just fine.
Yeah, they had a little cold snap. Shouldn't be a big deal. Can't believe they canceled the game because it snowed a couple inches.
Well, those people don't know what to do when it snows. They don't drive on it. They don't have road equipment to take care of it. Their tires aren't the same. They don't have a city crew with salt to put on the roads. Those things don't exist.
Crazy. That just, it's mind-boggling.
Well, why spend that money if you don't ever get snow?
Because when you do, then look what happens.
You're not going to spend
the whole city shuts down.
You're not going to spend that money.
Cost them a bunch of money
for
now.
One day of snow.
Oh, always better to be prepared than not prepared.
All right, here's what we have on the show today. Blair Kirchhoff at 5:20 from the Kansas City Star. We'll get his thoughts on Chiefs Buffalo. It seems like they play every other week, especially at this time of the year. But we've got that coming up in the AFC Championship game. We talk about the great parity in football at times, but it's basically the Bills, Chiefs, Ravens in the AFC. The Bengals cracked through a couple years ago. But who else? There's nobody else.
In the AFC?
You got those three those four quarterbacks. Throw Burrow in, and those teams will win as long as they're playing at a high level.
Well, the thing is that they're all young, too, so they're all going to be around for
a while. They're all in their mid to late, not even late 20s. They're all in their mid-20s.
Exactly. So they're all going to be around for a long period of time, and unless someone else comes up, like a Jaden Daniels, as we've seen on the other side, I don't see anybody else cracking that.
Not in the
four.
AFC right now.
There's really nobody that sticks out well at all, really.
They have the four best quarterbacks in the league in the AFC.
Yes.
Jaden Daniels may make a case to be included in that list. He may have already made the case, but I'm going to have to see him get to a Super Bowl, and he very well might. The Commanders at Philadelphia coming up Sunday. Today at 5:40, we'll have Taylor Dugan. She's the head girls basketball coach at Bishop Carroll. They're off to a very good start. And then top of hour number two at 6 o'clock, Mike Furches will be here for our pop culture segment. He'll actually be joining us at the West Wichita Basement Studio. The Oscar nominations tomorrow. We're all excited about that.
Yeah, we are.
You're not, but I am.
Well, that's good.
Nothing excites you.
The problem is
I've decided nothing excites
you. I don't see a lot of those movies. I don't even know which ones.
That's your fault.
I don't even know which ones are going to be nominated. Like, could you tell me which ones are going to be nominated?
The Brutalist.
Brutalist?
The Complete Unknown. The Story About the Catholics. The Conclave. Yeah, there's a few that I can tell you.
Okay, fair enough.
But I follow, I always have.
Well,
I've always followed this stuff. I follow entertainment, movies, television, music. Next to sports, it's my main interest.
Fair enough. I just, half the time when they come on, I'm like, well, I've never seen any of these, so I really don't care who wins. That's the only. Well, that's all I'm saying.
Maybe you should see them.
Maybe I should.
You like watching movies?
I do. But I never know what's. They just don't seem to grab me a lot of these movies. The Brutalist. What is that?
It's one of the. You know, it's one of the movies they make to try to win Oscars. It's 3.5 hours. It's got an intermission. I've read about it. I can't tell you that I'm lining up to see it. I haven't seen it yet. It's too long. Three and a half hours is too long for me.
Exactly. I'm not going to be watching that.
I didn't get to, I'll talk to Mike about it. I can't think of the name of it. The Last Martin, the Flower Man.
Flower? What? I don't know this one either.
The Last Martin Scorsese movie. With Leonardo and De Niro, and I can't think of the name of it. No.
That's an old one.
No. This was last year. But because of its length, I've never seen it. And that's the only Scorsese movie I've not watched. And I feel like I need to go back and watch that, but I don't know. Maybe I will, maybe I won't.
Is it The Escape? Freshly Cut Grass?
No.
I don't know then.
Look up Scorsese 2023.
Yeah. Maestro, Pet Shop Days, Absence of Eden, Killers of the Flower Moon.
There you go. Killers of the Flower Moon.
I did watch that.
Well, there you go.
We tried to watch that. And let me tell you, it was good, but slow. Way too slow.
Yeah, it's got some
of
that.
The kids were bowing out. Dee and I were like, do we finish it? It was good, but it was too long, too slow.
In my opinion, you watch movies like that. Yeah, you got to be. And that was a common criticism of that movie. But you watch movies like that to see the work of a master. like Martin Scorsese, who's arguably the greatest director in the history of cinema. We'll get Mike's thoughts on that. I would probably say he's top three at least. But that's what, when he puts out a movie, I feel a need to watch it, although I haven't seen that one yet. But anyway, we'll talk with Mike about all that coming up. We've got KU in action tonight down in Fort Worth against TCU. We've got K-State also in the state of Texas. They're facing Baylor tonight at 8 o'clock. You can hear that game here on KFH. We'll go to the pregame as we finish here at 7 o'clock. And then the game of the night in college basketball. I'm going to try to start doing this, give you a game to watch, a game of the night. And it's from the SEC, no shock, Texas A&M at Ole Miss. That's your best game of the evening.
That's the best one of the evening, you say. I'll listen to you. Will I watch it? What time's it on?
I don't know. I think that's an 8 o'clock tip. That's a little too late for you.
I'm trying to see here.
KU's on at 6.
KU, so, TCU's at 6, yes.
We'll probably watch some of that.
Yeah, A&M is at 8 o'clock, so I won't make that one.
No, you won't make that one.
No.
And not that that game's terribly appealing to those of us here in Wichita, but it's the best game of the night in college basketball.
Yeah, you got two top, 16 teams, 13 and 16 going at it, so yeah.
Did you catch Dan Hurley's act last night for UConn?
I heard about it all morning. I was listening to some sports stuff.
They were on the ropes against Butler, a very marginal team this season in the Big East. UConn did finally end up winning that game in overtime, but at one point Dan Hurley was upset with the officiating. Imagine that. He lives in a constant state of dismay with officials, and apparently he said something to the effect of, "Don't turn your back on me. I'm the best bleeping coach in this sport," to paraphrase. Thoughts on that?
Well, I didn't hear that. I did hear him talk about how he wishes the camera wasn't on him 90% of the time. And
well, that's why those questions were asked.
All these other coaches, they should, they do the same thing, but everyone just catches me on it and blah, 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 blah.
That was the line of questioning that came out of that comment.
I'm kind of over all of the antics. They were kind of fun the first few years, but last year.
But he has won two straight national championships.
Yeah, he's good. UConn's good.
How much rope do you give him? How much do you say, well, that's just Dan Hurley? I can accept that from him because he is probably the best coach in the bleeping sport.
So you help them out by allowing them to just continue to do it? I disagree with that. If that should have been a technical, they should probably have thrown a technical at them, should they not?
I'm not talking about whether it's a technical. I'm talking about how do you feel about that
comment?
That comment.
Well, like you said, he's won a couple national championships in a row. So when it comes to that, maybe he is. Do I think you should say it? No, I don't think you should.
He absolutely shouldn't. Not. Absolutely shouldn't say it.
If you're the best, you shouldn't have to tell people that you're the best because they should already know that. That's how I've always seen guys like that. I'm the best. Well, if you're the best, everyone else will tell you the best. You shouldn't have to say it.
Yeah, that makes sense? I don't care for him. I obviously think he can coach. You don't win national championships by accident, and you certainly don't win two of them in a row. There's no question Dan Hurley is a top-flight college basketball coach, maybe the best in the country at this point. But come on, Dan, shut up.
Yeah, I agree with that, but, you don't need to say it. My thing is you don't need to say it. You don't need to say, tell the refs and let everybody hear that you said it. Right now, everybody probably thinks you are. Everybody's written about how good you are. But are you the best? I don't know.
Well, this year they're not as good.
No, exactly.
They're probably on a pace to make the NCAA tournament, but they're not as good, and they're certainly not seen as a team that right now would be a viable national championship threat. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just not a fan of the guy. I didn't like him when Wichita State and UConn used to play, and he used to coach. I mean, he coached against the Shockers, and I didn't like him then. But he certainly had a big amount of success. Currently, they will make the NCAA tournament.
Well, I would think so.
They're 14-5 overall, 6-2 in the Big East, ranked 19th in the country. You could say this is a somewhat down year for that conference, although they do have three ranked teams, Marquette, St. John's, UConn, with Creighton on the cusp. So those are the four teams right now that I could see. Right now, I think they just have four. I'd be surprised if they get any more than four into the tournament, and there's been years where they got many more than that.
Yeah, but, I mean, let's see. Conference play, we'll see how many more teams. I mean, it's once you get to the conferences, it's so much, it's different, right? We're not even quite halfway through the conference play, are we? They played about eight games.
Yeah, but the season's zooming by.
Everything's zooming by right now. Life is zooming by.
The college basketball season.
Well,
seems like it just started a few days ago,
and they've already played like 18 to 20 games.
Here we are on January 22nd. Hard to believe. So yeah, we're almost into the month of February, and then before you know it, they'll be
conference
announcing the field, and they'll be playing right over here at the Intrust Bank Arena. In the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament.
Are you going?
I may finagle a media pass.
No shock there. Did you go last time they were here?
And then again, I may not. Yeah, I had a media pass last time. I think I counted recently, and I've been to a lot of NCAA tournaments, and all of them as a member of the press at the Wichita Eagle, I think I've been to 23 in my life tournaments.
I've been to one.
This one?
The last one when they were here.
Well, there's nothing like it.
I went and watched two games. And it was great.
Yeah.
Wichita did a great job with that.
Well, Wichita did a great job.
There was lots of stuff to do outside. I mean, just walked around for a while, went in, watched. Went back out, had a couple beverages. Went back in, watched another game. Went back out, had a couple beverages.
Yeah, that's what you do.
And it was a blast. It was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed it.
I miss that more than anything from my life as a sports writer, because it was just so much fun to find out on Sunday. I say this now. There were some Sundays where it was like, oh, my God, this is where I'm going. But it was fun to anticipate where you might be going.
Did you follow, obviously, Wichita State, wherever they went, right?
The years they were in, I always went with Wichita State. Before that, if Wichita State didn't get in and there was a long dry spell, then I went wherever KU was.
That was usually pretty close, though.
No? I've been all over. The reason I've been in 45 states or whatever it is mainly because of the NCAA basketball tournament.
Which one was the farthest one you had to go to?
Well, California a couple times. Providence, Rhode Island.
Yeah.
That's a long one. I'd have to, I mean, those are the two ends of the spectrum. Portland, Oregon.
So where is it? How much work did you have to do? Like, you go to the games, you do some stuff before, after, then you had some time to check out wherever you were at?
Your whole life centers around basketball for that time period.
So basically you're at the arena the whole time.
You arrive at the arena very early in the morning, and basically because you want to be there. You're soaking it up. The atmosphere is incredible. I love being in the media room for an NCAA tournament. And then you have all the press conferences and the practices, and then the next day you have the games, and you're just hanging out at an arena for 5 or 6 days.
Just watching basketball. Nothing wrong with that.
No, it was awesome.
It's not a bad gig.
It's absolutely awesome. And you're writing stuff, and you're doing things, and you feel like you're a part of it all. And I do miss that. There's no question that was one of the highlights of being in the profession I was.
You're lucky.
Oh, my gosh. We've had time evaporate on us. We need to take a break.
All right.
Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star joins us next.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
These are a one-and-done song by one-and-done groups. How bizarre. OMC, they had a hit. They went about their merry lives, and that was about it. Blair Kirchhoff joins us from the Kansas City Star, longtime sports writer with the Star. Hello, Blair.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. So this has become so commonplace now that we're talking about the Chiefs and the AFC Championship game. I think there will come a day where this doesn't happen nearly as frequently. How will everybody react when that day arrives? And we don't see it in the foreseeable future, do we?
No, we don't. We've been talking this week about what it was like before this streak, and you know the Chiefs' history was basically success in the AFL and the Super Bowl IV championship, 25 or 30 years of bad football, and then, you know, Marty Schottenheimer and Carl Peterson arrive, and it's restored, but no playoff success. And then they went through this stretch of, you know, playoff, just bizarre misfortune, you know, just some crazy losses in the early Andy Reid years. And then Patrick Mahomes shows up, and Travis Kelce's here, and Chris Jones gets drafted, and all of a sudden you've got a dynasty. The first one in Kansas City sports history, and I guess let the good times roll. You know, that's the theme here.
And the other thing, with that being said, you know, you got Patrick Mahomes, but you really don't have a top flight wide receiver. They just throw guys in there. You got Kelce, who's obviously, well, let's just be honest, he's getting up there in age. I don't know how many more years you can pull out of him, if any. But with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, it just seems they just kind of put whoever in there, and if they can just keep the defense playing well, I don't know when this will stop. Can it stop? Yeah. Is it just those two? Because it doesn't seem like they really have any other stars, except if you want to throw Kelce in there. And then I think Noah Gray is going to be a great replacement for him whenever that time comes.
I agree. He's shown some great signs this year of taking great strides. And you're right. They're getting it done with good but not Pro Bowl level wide receivers. I think one thing we've seen in the post Tyreek Hill era is the Chiefs have made their wide receivers replaceable. They can go get guys. They can sign some veterans who have had some success but weren't, you know, perennial Pro Bowl type players. They don't get the Justin Jeffersons, you know, but they make do with what they have. And so if they can continue to do that, and Mahomes and Reed, you know, perform at their levels that we've seen here the last few years, I don't think there's a reason why there should be much slippage in Kansas City. there are a couple things that I think about along with that. The Chargers and the Broncos both took great strides this year, so winning the division is not going to be the cakewalk, I think, in the near future that it has been. Both of those organizations now have good coaches and good quarterbacks, and they hadn't had that in a while. So they're going to have competition within the division. And then the other thing I've thought about is, you know, when the Patriots went through their two decades of dominance, you know, Brady and Belichick and the young Patriots won their three Super Bowls in 5 years, but then they went almost a decade without another Super Bowl championship. And then they won three more in another 5 year stretch. So I don't know if there's, you know, are the Ravens and the Bills and whoever else, are they, you know, knocking at the door and are ready to take a step forward and have their time at the top? We'll see. But as long as Mahomes and Reed are in place here, I think the Chiefs will be knocking on the door for a championship every season.
Blair Kirchhoff, veteran sports writer from the Kansas City Star, with us. Yeah, it's just amazing. You know, you talk about Denver and the Chargers. Well, the Chiefs have done all this, or a lot of this, in an era where you have generational quarterbacks trying to knock them off. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, to some degree Joe Burrow. I think you'd put those three and Mahomes at the top of the list of quarterbacks playing today. Yet here Kansas City stands in its seventh consecutive AFC title game, trying to win its third consecutive Super Bowl. Buffalo and Baltimore can't really get more firepower. It's amazing how the Chiefs are just holding serve here.
Yeah. And in an era and age in the NFL when everything is stacked against you to be consistently great, you know, the Chiefs every year play a first place schedule. You know, they always play the best teams every single year. I mean, they're going to play Buffalo again in the regular season next year in Baltimore, because those teams won there, and the Texans, because they all finished first in the AFC. And I think they play the NFC East next year, so they'll get the Eagles in the regular season, and in Dallas, and the Commanders with their great young quarterback. So things, you know, the Chiefs have the shortest off season of any team in the NFL, as long as they keep playing in the Super Bowl, winning Super Bowls. They play longer and then they start earlier. So it's, you know, the cards are stacked against teams, and the NFL is created in such a way that it discourages, supposed to discourage continued greatness, but as you said, Bob, here they are standing on the doorstep of a third straight Super Bowl, which would be unprecedented, and it really does speak to how important it is to get your franchise quarterback. You mentioned Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen, and they are absolutely franchise quarterbacks. And, you know, a bounce or two the other way, any one of those. Cincinnati was in a Super Bowl a couple years ago, and Buffalo could be in one this year, and Baltimore had a home game to play for the chance in the Super Bowl last year. It all could have gone their way, and it might go the Bills' way this weekend. But for the last few years, it's bounced the Chiefs' way, and they've defied the odds, really, and are sitting on the top.
And the same thing could be, I mean, the AFC, you look at the AFC, and obviously we've talked about that, and Bob brought it up as you did. You know, you got Burrow and Jackson and Allen and Mahomes, and your kind of upstarts that are looking good are the Chargers and Denver. But realistically, isn't it?
And Houston.
And Houston. You can put Houston in there in that division. But it seems like it's going to be the same teams every year for quite a while right now. Would you agree with that?
I do. I don't know what to do with the Steelers if they hit upon a quarterback, like their coach, like their defense. But you know, it's been such a wilderness at quarterback since Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh. The one that I wonder about is Cincinnati, because they're going to have to do some restructuring and some shaking up once, you know, with Burrow with a monster contract. And the Chargers are going to be in that position here pretty soon too with Justin Herbert. You know, it's the big quarterback contract always makes things a little difficult for the rest of the roster and roster building. And I think a name we haven't mentioned yet, and one of the keys to the Chiefs' success is the job that Brett Veach, general manager, has done. Finding guys. We talked about the wide receivers, a lot of defensive guys, the Mike Pinnells, the Mike Danas, Tershawn Wharton's, who have been, you know, useful players to them, who come in at very, you know, cheap, to put it nicely, to put it bluntly, and you win that way. You got to pay your stars. You got to pay Chris Jones. You got to pay Travis Kelce, and of course, you know, Mahomes' contract's worth $45 million a year. But so you have to find, you know, guys that are, you know, that they're going to perform for you at low contracts, and the Chiefs have done a really nice job with that.
Talking with Blair Kirchhoff from the Kansas City Star. Okay, you know, you get to that point in the movie where there's maybe a music bit that indicates things are going to get a little darker. Dun, 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 something like that. The Chiefs, as great as they've been, they are now getting the reputation as the villain in the National Football League. People watch their games and they see things that I don't know. I mean, maybe they do get most of the calls. I don't know. What's your reaction to all this? And what do you think the Chiefs think of it all?
Yeah, it's funny. We talked to Patrick Mahomes about it today, and you know, he at the podium at a press conference, he says he doesn't think about it. But I know he's on social media. He sees some of the things that are out there and talked about. And you know, I remember hearing similar things about the Patriots toward the end of the Tom Brady era there, and the, you know, bad calls that every team gets were magnified. Bad calls that favored the Patriots were magnified. But what's, to me, a couple things that are different now than maybe 8-9 years ago. Social media is just in a different place, and so is analytics. You know, I don't think analytics were as readily available and out there for the casual fan the way they are now. So now there are basically scientific ways to prove this, and I saw something the other day that, you know, that in their last 10 playoff games, the Chiefs had fewer penalties and penalty yards than 9 of the 10 opponents. So you can't argue with that. Now, can you make the argument that the Chiefs are well coached with better players? You know, it's the age old basketball question: why a team, you know, commits more fouls, or why better teams commit fewer fouls than others? Is it because they're better coached, better players? I think there's something to that, and I think the better teams are less penalized. They don't shoot themselves in the foot. And listen, the other argument is, don't you think it's in the NFL's best interest not to have a villain, or to have everybody with, you know, a different champion every year, to give every market an opportunity? I don't think the NFL really wants to see a team, you know, dominate its league the way the Chiefs have for the last few years. If anything, I think they would work, you know, if for the conspiracy theorists, I think they'd work against the Chiefs. But I know enough officials. I think we all do, because of what we do and the people we've come in contact with over the years, umpires, officials, referees, that it's an honorable profession. I have the utmost respect for them, and I just find it laughable that people would believe that that they're putting the thumb on the scales for one team over the other.
All right, Blair, always good to catch up with you. Chiefs again in the AFC Championship game coming up against Buffalo on Sunday. Thank you, Blair.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, there you go. We'll talk more about that in hour number two.
All right.
We got Taylor Dugan coming up from Bishop Carroll Girls Basketball. She's their coach, former player at Bishop Carroll, who went on to play at Wichita State University when she was then Taylor Stephen. Remember those days?
No, do I?
No, you don't.
I don't know. Are we going back to like how old you
are, or how old I am? Not too far back.
Okay, then probably.
Taylor Dugan joins us. She's the girls' basketball coach at Bishop Carroll. They are 8-1, off to a very good start. Hello, Taylor.
Hi. Hey, thanks for having me.
Yeah, we're happy to have you. So you are off to a very good start, and one of those wins was against Heights in an epic overtime battle. Just tell us, let's start with that game and the tests that it provided for your girls and what you had to do to come out on top there.
Yeah, it was a big test for us. I mean, last season we went to overtime with them as well and didn't get the win. And this season, you know, they're always pretty, you know, one of our biggest rivals, obviously, in our league. So we have to prepare for them and be ready for them. And I think our girls were very prepared and very ready for that game. We played a really nice game. And then overtime kind of, you know, we were up three and then they made three free throws at the end of regulation. And then we, because we fouled the 3-point shooters. So we went into overtime knowing that we, you know, could have won, should have, and we were ready to go. So it was a fun game. The girls were very excited. And it's been a fun year so far.
Yeah. 8-1. You've had a great start. Not this weekend, but next weekend, you got your midseason tournament coming up. I've been trying to pull it up, but I can't find it. Where are you going? For that, who's going to be there, and how excited are the girls to go to this tournament? I know we talked to a lot of coaches, yeah, and it always seems like everybody's excited to go to these mid-season tournaments.
Yeah, it is nice. We go to Newton, actually, so we're close by, but it's always a tough tournament, which is why we've stayed in it, because we get a lot of, you know, experience for postseason, and this year we were the first seed, so we played Newton first round, and then we could see St. Thomas Aquinas, we could see St. James, Olathe Northwest, Shawnee Mission Northwest, Wichita East is in our tournament. So we have a lot of, it's very tough. It's very tough, but it's also awesome because it's teams, like I said, that we would, you know, see in postseason, hopefully, and kind of prepares us more for that. So I think it's, yeah, like I said, we've always stayed in it because they've always brought some really nice competition. And whether we win or lose, it's just really good for us to get that. So.
Talking now with Taylor Dugan from Bishop Carroll, the Golden Eagles. She is a graduate and a former player there. So tell us about some of your players and who's kind of leading this charge to an 8-1 record.
We have two senior leaders, Megan Simon and Lily Martin, and they've really come in very prepared. They worked hard in the off season, and they both have had an awesome year. And honestly, I mean, the leadership that they provided for our team has been very important and probably one of the reasons that we are winning, because everybody's working well together. Our energy this season, it's been actually one of the most fun seasons I've had coaching, just because everyone's coming to practice, wanting to be there. Everybody has pride in, you know, Bishop Carroll girls basketball, and the energy is so good every single practice. So we're getting a lot done. We're learning a lot because we have quite a few girls that have not played varsity minutes before, other than, you know, our top four girls. So, and one of them's a sophomore, you know, one of our top four. So we're kind of really trying to regroup this season. And like I said, those seniors have done an awesome job. We have a junior, Avery McCory, who's had an amazing season. She was one of the main reasons we won that Heights game, because she had an awesome third quarter and just played, you know, she played with a lot of maturity. So we've had, so these girls have just brought a lot of energy and a lot of positivity to the season, and it's made it a lot of fun.
All right. I see, I'm looking at your roster, and I see a couple girls with the last name Steven. I would guess they may be related to you. And then I see another player with the last name Dugan. Yeah. Tell us about them.
So Liza Dugan, is that who you're looking at? Is that who?
Yeah.
She was on our team last season, but she didn't come back. So she decided to not play this season. But we have Brooke Steven, who's my niece. She's my niece. She's a sophomore. And she started for us as a freshman. She's a super competitor, you know, she's our point guard. So she kind of tries to handle the, you know, lead the team and on the court a little bit more. And she's gotten a lot better. You know, she's the same thing over the summer. She's worked really hard and gotten a lot better. So yeah.
Let me just say this. Let me add this editorial comment. You know, okay. Max Preps used to be kind of reliable. It stinks now. Why?
I know. I can't find anything. No. It drives me bonkers.
I honestly don't know. I don't know if we're supposed to do it. If it's, I don't know if we, I mean, I don't know. I really don't know what to tell you about that.
Well, I'm not blaming you. I'm saying that you're not the only team and coach. I don't know where to go to find anything out anymore.
I think
maddening.
It's hard also because I think our website has a roster on it, but that's not true, like Bishop Carroll's, but that's not true for everybody because I go looking for rosters all the time and can't find them. So I'm with you. Don't worry.
Okay, good. I thought I might be losing my mind.
No, you're
so good. What have you made of the City League your first time through? Are we getting better? Are we getting deeper? Are we finding more talented players throughout the City League? Or what do you think?
You know, I do think that, and I think it's hard because we played East first game of the season, and it was a tough game, and they're going to be in our tournament, and then we play them right after the tournament, and they have gotten a lot better, and they're a very good team. Obviously, Capen's always a good team for us to play against, and Heights. And Southeast always has very, very talented girls, and they're coached well. So it's getting better, I think. I hope, you know. I think some girls, it's hard when players leave and transfer and do all that stuff. So I think that that's an issue sometimes with some of these other teams. But that's just how it goes.
All right, Taylor, we always enjoy talking with you. You've had a remarkable run here in our community as a basketball person, and I'm sure you do a lot of other great things too. So thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thank you. See you later.
All right, there's Taylor Dugan, the head girls basketball coach at Bishop Carroll High School. I like talking to the high school coaches, even though I feel like an idiot because I can't find a lot of information.
Well, I was sitting here doing the same thing you were doing. I wanted to look up a couple things, and I can't find anything. I can't find nothing.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Why? Why is that?
Well, maybe.
What has changed when it used to be?
I think on the Kansas State High School Activities Association website, Keisha covered, I think I got to get into the habit of going there. I think they have the most reliable and best information. So I gotta figure that out. But, you know, I still live in a time where you opened up a newspaper and you had everything you wanted.
Isn't it funny how that used to be? It's all right there. There you go. I'm not going to sit. I'm going to leave the rest up to you.
Yeah, don't. Watch out.
No, I don't want to get shot here today.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take care.
I'm sorry.
Take care of it.
I apologize.
We got an hour left on a Wednesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show. When we come back, Mike Furches will join us. We'll talk about the upcoming Oscar nominations. That happens tomorrow. And other pop culture stuff with Mike Furches next.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
Stand by for action.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Oh, gasp. I'm so excited.
You know what? I wish you had nothing to say on a lot of things. It's valuable that you're here to help me with the show, but that's exactly what you're doing. You're helping me with the show.
In Jason Duda.
The street smart fish out of water in a world he never made.
Sexsmith's my hometown. It's about 12 miles north of Grand Prairie. Grand Prairie is the big center, and there's nothing north of there.
I just read that the mayor of Winnipeg's nephew went ice fishing and caught himself a 16-pound walleye, reporting live from the worst place in the world.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
I totally don't know what that means, but it won't.
Welcome back, everyone. Hour number two of the Bob and Jeff Show here on KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jason Duda hosting the show today. Max Power, producing, engineering. Jeff will be here tomorrow. Here's Mike Furches joining us for our weekly, almost weekly, pop culture segment, as we'll get to what we expect with the Oscar nominations. Duda made a good point earlier in the year. Hadn't seen these movies. Really doesn't have much of a desire to see these movies. Why is that? Why are the Oscar-nominated movies maybe why don't they always connect with guys like Duda?
Because they're not crowd favorites, and this year they're even worse.
But why is that?
Because there's what I'm Southern.
I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but it's just it's always when if I turn it on, I've seen two of the nine nominees.
I'm a Southern guy, but some people think I'm highbrow, and these are highbrow movies. That's the simplest way I know.
Then that's why I don't see them. Maybe not all of them.
Not all. There's some. Gladiator's nominated for a few things. There's a few other films.
Here's who is Rotten Tomatoes put out their odds, and here's who they expect to get nominations as best movie. Anora, which I've heard good things about. I don't know that I'll see it. The Brutalist, which is cleaned up at the Golden Globes, and sounds like it's really an epic kind of movie, kind of like Oppenheimer was last year, but it's 3.5 hours. I don't know.
With an intermission, which is rare.
A Complete Unknown, Bob Dylan, I'll see that, no question. Conclave, which I did see and loved. I thought it was very well done. The acting was out really good. Dune Part 2, I wouldn't see Dune if it was the last movie that was put out. I just I'm not into it's, that futuristics.
It's so boring. It and the original were so boring to
the
me.
The first one was way worse than the second one.
Yeah.
And it's got Dave Bautista.
Yeah, the kids wanted to watch it because we tried watching the first one and it took us like 4 days to watch it because it was as slow
wasn't
as...
Wasn't that a hint?
It was like... exactly, that's what I thought. But then everybody is like, oh, no, we got to do this and da-da-da-da, why don't we watch it? And the second one wasn't as bad. I thought it was a little better, but it was still slow.
Yeah, it's got a screen favorite with Dave Bautista in it. You know, he's a screen favorite of mine. Anytime that a pro wrestler makes it into the
big
screen...
I like Dave. I like Bautista.
I do, too. And you would think this is going to be good, but nope. And there's going to be people that's going to hate me for this. It is so boring. It was all I could do. We talked about this last week. You remember? It was all I could do to stay awake through any of that movie.
Yeah, it's not terrible. It's not something I'm going to watch again.
The picks are they're not the picks. The nominations are out, and I know my favorite in the nominations is Conclave. Conclave's a good movie, and it's my favorite. At least, I'm looking at Variety right now, and that's what Variety is saying.
Well, I'll go with you because I have no idea.
I think they come out tomorrow.
Is it tomorrow?
You're killing me here. You're making me feel like I don't know what I'm doing. When the Oscar nominations come out, it's usually kind of a big deal. And I believe tomorrow is when they come out.
Well, right now I'm looking at Variety right now, and it says the 97th Oscars will be held on Sunday, March the 2nd. And then it has a list of the nominations and their predictions for Best Picture.
It probably has a list of predictions. But
that could be it.
Don't do that. I got enough problems with Duda and my son. I don't need a third person.
How am I a problem? I literally sit here and throw out what I'm supposed to spew out, and then I leave.
I was talking to
how easy is that?
I was talking to a guy a few weeks ago, Duda, at Bass Pro, and he knew where you were from. He said, I know who he is. He didn't know you. He said, I know who he is, but I know where he's from because I've been there before. I said, you're kidding.
What?
Yeah, I said, you're kidding. He said, no. So
I had to throw that in. Is this a Bass Pro?
This is, yeah, Santa Claus.
Does he work
there? This was a Santa Claus visit. Some guy came down to visit me. So
the other movies that Rotten Tomatoes thinks has good opportunities are Challengers, which looks interesting. It's kind of an offbeat, funky movie about a...
Is that Zendaya?
It's a tennis love triangle.
Yeah. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but I'm interested in it. You hated it.
I hated it.
You hated it.
Oh, really?
I hated it.
What's happened to you?
It was little about sports and a whole lot about, how can I say this, a sex trilogy that just didn't work, that was just sick and, excuse my French, but perverted.
So it didn't work.
It didn't work for me, and it's not that I'm opposed to those kind of movies, but that one just didn't do it.
Amelia Perez has an interesting premise. September 5, that one seems, you know, that's about the Olympics and the, help me out.
That's the Moscow.
Yeah,
the Israeli capture.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
The Substance with Demi Moore sounds good. An interesting premise. I see fewer highbrow movies than last year. And Wicked is the other one.
Yeah, I agree. And we talked about this last week because some is a fairly good show to be as bad as it was. Demi Moore, what a comeback that lady's making.
Did you see The Substance?
Yes.
You liked it?
Yes, it's amazingly good. For that kind of a, for, you know, for a movie of that nature, a dramatic style of movie, I thought it was really good. And Demi Moore, we talked about this, you remember last week in Landman?
Yeah.
How she didn't win the Emmy and stuff.
Well, she wasn't in it enough.
No, she was. She's barely, but she'll be in it more next
year. First of all, and secondly, the Emmys haven't been announced yet. She didn't win the Golden Globe.
The Golden Globe, correct. I'm glad you're
Well, you're not on your game.
I'm glad you're here to correct me, Bob. I need you, Bob.
It's a good thing Yeet's got half a brain working today.
Yeah, between the two of us, we're a duda.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
But Demi Moore, she is, man, she is, she's amazing. She's an amazing actress and has done a good job. So Demi Moore's my hands-on pick for if she gets the nomination for the Oscar, assuming that she's not gotten it, that she's my hands-on pick to get it.
And we're going to switch gears here. We can get back to this. But I'm so fascinated by Landman.
Yeah.
Part of me really loves it, and part of me thinks, oh, my God. It's almost comical. It's almost cartoonish in some ways, the way they're – especially the key women in the show are depicted. Is that a series that we're going to be talking about in 10 years and thinking that was an amazing series, or is that all going to come to the surface and we'll think that's kind of trashy, really?
I think it's a typical Taylor Sheridan style movie that for the first 2, 3, maybe 4 years is going to be really good. We're going to talk about it. And then after that, who knows? The female characters, we've talked about this.
We have.
Is that Taylor Sheridan? I mean, is that the worldview that Taylor Sheridan has? And if it is, it's kind of a black eye on the creative genius that he has. That's my opinion, that he does not see women in
are his other shows like that, Tulsa King and...
Yes. They are most definitely. Tulsa King's a good show, but it's going to be the same type of thing. The same type of premise as Landman, except in a different world. I like Tulsa King because it's largely filmed in the Oklahoma area, filmed primarily in Oklahoma City instead of Tulsa, but it has Tulsa and B-roll footage. But it's same type of thing, and it's very typical to Taylor Sheridan. And maybe that's what's selling right now. It certainly is selling for 2, 3, 4 years. But after that, I don't know if we're going to ever see the longevity shows like we used to regarding things like MASH, Friends, shows that lasted for 10, 15 years. So I don't know if we'll ever
see. Well, they don't make the money that those shows used to make.
No.
For one thing, it's hard. There's so many streaming services, and it's just hard for them to make that kind of money.
Yeah.
But you do still see Law and Order.
Yeah. Well, I'm
still watching, rolling along.
I'm tagging along right now with the final season of Blue Bloods. 15 years.
I wish I'd watched Blue Bloods.
Never got into Blue Bloods.
I just feel I feel awful about it.
Why? There's so much out, though. I can't watch
it. I know.
It's one of the last shows that was on for the longevity that run. 15 years. There goes Bob's. Bob can beat me in a minute.
No, that's my bathroom. Oh, that's your phone.
Yeah, I know it. That's why I say you can beat me for it. And I had it
What
turned
in
off.
The world?
I've got... Well, what
like,
I've got
is this to, your
I've,
first time on radio?
Because... I've got to learn to turn off the... There's a difference between turning off the volume and turning off
Well, it seems like you could do that right now.
Yeah. Well,
but then it'd be...
Then it'd be what?
Go ahead. Just turn it
you
off.
You can turn
I'm
it
trying,
off.
I'm trying.
You're allowed to.
There we go.
Could you... And that's all
it's
you're going to say.
It's the second time.
Jeff or I would have done that.
I'm trying to have kid gloves here, but
you would have knocked our heads off.
I said beat me to death if you want to. It's the second.
Unbelievable.
I know. It's terrible.
Unbelievable for Mike or me?
For you.
Really?
You would have, if Jeff or I's phone would have done that, holy man.
Bob has absolute freedom to get on to me. He does.
Oh, he won't, though.
He's been doing more so.
He won't.
Yeah.
Let's just make sure the phone.
This was turned off. But I've got to go here. These stupid phones, along with Jay's for a flip phone where you can turn it on and off.
Well, you got a phone, you got your credit card, you got it's a phone and a wallet, all in one.
Yeah. So there.
That's your first mistake.
Well, I don't have all the pockets. I don't carry anything in my rear pocket like I used to. So
is this a good time to go to the movies?
In regards to crowd numbers, it is. In regards to what's in the theater, I saw. The last one I went to see is I went to go see Werewolf the other day.
And?
Very disappointed.
Oh, no.
Very disappointed.
That's the horror movie?
I think I tagged you at Facebook. See the Lon Chaney version. Don't go watch this garbage. This new
would
horror
garbage.
Would
he like that, though? It's so out of date.
Would Lon Chaney would like it because he, if he were still alive, but it's kind of.
I'm saying would Duda like the Lon Chaney version?
I think he would. I watched it again the other night to see if it was as good as I thought it was. It is. Lon Chaney was a much better actor than people gave credit for. I think I tagged Jeff is who I tagged because I said I've got a buddy named Jeff who refuses to see movies that are older than he is, something along those lines, and it's a shame because this is a really good movie, the original Lon Chaney, Wolfman, and. So it, Jeff has that hat, but I think the original was superior. Lon Chaney could carry the character. You cared about him as a character. And in the new one, I'm going to say something that will probably sell tickets. If you want to watch somebody eat their arm off and chew their leg off, go see it. But I don't want to see that.
Yeah, no,
that's not something I've ever wanted.
No, well, I don't want to see it either. And I regret seeing it the first time.
Let me ask you about a movie called The Last Showgirl,
yeah,
because it has Pamela Anderson, yeah. Dave Bautista's in that one as well.
Also, it's has another one
by Gia Coppola. You may have heard that.
Oh, absolutely,
name.
Should have heard of every follow movies.
So she's in the running, maybe to be nominated, and everybody says it's a really, really good movie. Are you surprised that Pamela Anderson can carry a movie?
You know, I'm really not.
Really?
Because I'm not surprised because of the years that I went. I don't know if you remember or not, but I went back and I made a point to watch all of the Baywatch shows and didn't realize that she wasn't on until season 3.
Well,
she was a better.
How much you must have suffered, Mike.
You know, and the series was actually better than I thought. She was on it from season 3, and they definitely used a sexploitation with her. There's no doubt about it in the making of that series, and but I thought. She was a better actress and she was given credit for it. And the things that was done to her and how that she was used in the media, it was kind of sad. It's really pretty sad. But it's not surprising to me. Now, if she's nominated for an actress award, that would be surprising. But to finally get some kind of credit to where she's getting some kind of an important role, that's kind of a good thing. But Jamie Lee Curtis, I think, is in that movie as well.
Yeah, she is. Guess how old Pamela Anderson is.
I know exactly how old she is.
Tell me.
She's 57.
Good.
What
would you have said?
I just said 60.
Thereabout.
I'm going to tell you something. My wife and I got into a little bit today, not to be too personal, but I'm going to tell you how come I know how old she is. Because I've always said my wife is as pretty as Pamela Anderson, and they're the same age. That's how come.
Isn't that nice?
That's how come I know how old she is.
That's really nice.
That's awful.
I forgive you for your phone going off and not knowing when the Oscar nominations are coming out.
We married up, Bob. Both of us married up.
Well, I know I did.
I did.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
So anyway, how much are you into the Oscars? You know, there's been all this damage in California due to these wildfires. People have said you need to cancel the Oscars or the Grammy. I completely disagree with that sentiment, by the way. We have to live our lives here. And I guarantee you, I can't guarantee you that everybody who's been involved in that horrific tragedy, but I think they probably want as much normalcy as they can get. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree. I don't know if you saw my post at Facebook today relating to the comparison between Appalachia and then the Oscars. You know, the bottom line is that when people lose something of value, I don't care how much money you have, it touches you. And those people that I want to see their lives to continue out in California, Los Angeles, Southern Cal area. And I think that the Oscars are a big deal. And it's a big deal to keeping life going and things going around and around in that community. And so... I'm hoping they're not delayed as well, and that they go on and pray for the folks in Southern California, because there's a lot of actors and actresses that have had homes that have been lost as well. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Sounds like that's going to be the case. You got anything for Mike? Anything?
No. Well, I am curious. You'd mentioned about movies and going out, and then you got on the Wolfman thing. Is there anything out like to go and see? What is out that I would like to go and see?
Pretty stark.
Because I haven't found anything for quite a while.
Here's my recommendation, dude. Right now, AMC and I'm assuming Art Regal as well, which are the primary local theaters, and then there's the new downtown theater that has opened back up, which is locally owned at the Old Town Warren. there's a lot of the movies that are being nominated or considering being nominated for Oscars that are getting a revamping and replaying. And go check some of those. Conclave is definitely worth watching. But this is going to sound crazy coming from me after the discussions we've had. The one movie right now that's out, it's streaming as well as back at the theaters, and I'd recommend seeing it at the theaters, is The Last Robot.
The Last Robot.
I think it's The Last Robot. And it's animated, but what a good story.
Yeah, it's good.
It's really good.
You've seen
and
it?
And I watched Inside Out, too, and I love that, too. Yeah. There's a movie called Anora, which we think is going to get nominated for an Academy Award, and it sounds really good, too. A young actress by the name of Mikey Madison. Do you know much about her?
I don't know much about her, no.
She was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and that's showing. The Wild Robot, Conclave, have you seen it?
No, we talked about wanting to watch that.
It's on pay-per-view. I mean, you can get that very easily. Let's see here.
Baby Girl's good, yeah. But we live at a time right now that a lot of the nominations are streaming right now. So you can find them streaming. I just still like going to the big screen and get my bag of popcorn and a song.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to shock the world when I do.
No, I like going to the theater. I'm not going to just go to the theater to go to the theater. I want to go watch something.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go to the theater just to go to the theater.
Yeah, but you haven't been to the theater for a decade.
Four or 5 years, yeah. Since COVID, that'd be 2020, 2019, 2020.
COVID really hit in March of 2020.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on 5 years. But I don't know. I still watch movies. We watched a bunch of movies over the Christmas break.
You know what I started to do the other night, Saturday night? I almost went to go watch UFC at the theater. They're showing UFC at the theaters now. And I was $25. I should have done it. But that'd be a fun trip as well.
Hmm. I've never had any interest in UFC.
But you do WWE and WWF, pro wrestling. Did you watch the Netflix premiere the other night?
Yes, I watched the first Raw on Netflix.
Yeah. So how was that, being on Netflix for the first time?
Really no different. It's just it streams and you don't have the commercial breaks that you used to have to endure, which is nice.
Yeah.
But it's about the same.
But you have heard that between the wrestling and the boxing and all the other stuff, that Netflix is increasing their fees again.
They are.
Yeah. Will that make a difference for you?
No.
Not me either.
The problem is Netflix has something that works.
Yeah.
And people like things that work and that are advantageous to them. You can put on Netflix and you're going to find something to watch. Yeah.
For me, the three, Netflix, Amazon, and Paramount Plus, those are the three primary ones for me. I think Paramount Plus for the money is just a good deal.
Well, I hear you. I got them all, and you could keep going. I mean, it's ridiculous. Peacock. I got Apple.
Is that the thing you buy on TV for $20 that gives you all the free stuff? Does it work?
It's ridiculous.
It is. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like, okay, we were watching a show. Which one's that on? And you go and you got to go through six different streaming ones to figure out where you were watching something.
And then it really gets confusing between Peacock and Paramount Plus. Because sometimes, like if you want to watch Yellowstone, to try to find Yellowstone to watch is ridiculous. I don't know how many.
And I also have Max.
Yeah. And like the last season of Yellowstone is on Paramount Network.
Yeah. But
so it's not on Peacock. It's not on Paramount.
And you can find it
And the 1888 or 1923s, those are on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Like, 1923 starts its second season this weekend.
This weekend. I'm looking forward to it as well, yeah.
Yes.
Finally, the boy gets home.
Yeah. Now,
well, it's taken him long enough.
You remember how big a deal just having HBO used to be? They used to send out that viewing guide every month, and you get it in the mail. Look what I get to watch on HBO. Now it's... There's 15 HBOs.
Bob, I think you and I probably remember the days that it was the highlight of the week to get the TV guide.
I remember the TV guide. I used to rifle through that thing. This day I got to watch this. This day I can watch this.
You go through it circle.
I still get TV guide.
Really? I didn't know they still made it.
It only comes out every 2 weeks now. Maybe every month.
Does it have all the streaming on it?
Yes. They do.
That'd be worth getting it then.
They do a great job telling you what's on. And they got reviewers, and it's a really good magazine.
So you get a hard copy or you get it online then?
No, I get a hard copy.
I need to go check that out when I get home. Because I miss that magazine. I miss
Entertainment Weekly as much as I've ever missed anything.
Yeah.
Because it was so well done in its compartments. You could read about the movies in one section, TV, music, stage, whatever you were interested in, they had it covered.
Yeah.
I miss that.
Well, those publications that did that, I'm surprised at TV Guide, so I will go back and subscribe to that when I get home. I've got to go to the bank, and then I'm going to go subscribe to TV Guide.
Well, there you go.
Well, you better go to the bank. It's not cheap. Nothing's cheap anymore.
It's not inexpensive.
There you go.
So,
you want to hang for another segment?
Sure, be glad
to.
Made
the trip over here. We might as well keep you around. Unless the music goes on again, then you're out. All right, this is a Wednesday. It is the Bob and Jeff Show. We've got Jason Duda in. Mike Purchase will stay with us through the break. We'll be back.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
It's hard to believe that this group, Question Mark and the Mysterians, didn't have another big hit because 96 Tears was huge. But this was it, one and done. For the Question Mark and the Mysterians.
Oh, yeah, those guys. I remember almost when they came out that time.
No, you don't.
And then they put that song out.
There's no one who knows less about music.
You know what?
You agree.
Yeah, I might have to agree in a lot of aspects. And I'm okay with it.
It's hard to believe sometimes, but it is what it is. I've never honestly known anybody who was averse to music the way you are. I've known people who, whatever, I listened, I enjoy it, but I don't know, man. And you married somebody who seems to love music.
Yeah.
Knows
everything. And I'm that other guy.
Where are you and your wife on music, Mike? I know you love music.
I was shocked. My late wife, Mary Jane, she loved all kinds of folk music. And Sheila, she knows everything. I mean, if I ever entered the millionaire and I need a call a friend for music, her and my son-in-law would be on my call a friend list. She'll be sitting there and there'll be a song playing on the radio. She would probably guess who that was right off the bat without anybody saying anything.
That's
rare. I mean, she has an incredible memory related to musicians and bands and stuff.
Now, of course, I'm sure you heard me sing.
I heard a video
that was put out on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which Jeff reminds me in a text that I should talk more about.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I know Debbie shared it.
Debbie did share it.
Debbie's the one that shared this, where I saw that. It's where Debbie shared it.
And Jeff sent me a video of him singing an Eagles song, or a Don Henley song, and was kind of, I think he was hopeful I was going to share it. I saved the kid.
Well, aren't we all glad that no one shared that video?
I helped the kid out.
I'm ready to hear him play drums. I've not heard him play drums yet.
He's pretty good at drums.
I'm good.
Better than singing?
How many drummers do you know that ever sang? Very few. If you're really good at drums, odds are you're not much of a singer.
You know what Jeff probably sounds similar to as a singer? You mentioned the werewolf movie of chewing your arm off. That's probably close.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't say it, Jeff. If you're listening, I didn't say it. The one that knows you best did.
There you go. All right. Any other pop culture thoughts as we're talking here with Mike Furches, Jason Duda? I'm trying to think of television. You know, we get the long drought over the holidays where there's very few first-run shows. because nobody watches at that time of year. Did you see Dave Chappelle on Saturday Night Live?
I love Dave Chappelle. Anytime Dave Chappelle's on, if I have the chance to, in advance to know about it, I watch Dave
Chappelle. It's one of the best monologues I've seen.
This last one on Saturday was?
Yeah.
All right, I think we taped it, so I'll have to go back and watch it.
It's available. You can YouTube it if you need to, but Dave Chappelle is so good. And he's so – I have a couple of friends that are comedians, and comedians are so much deeper – and their mentality and the way they think than what people give them credit for. And every comedian that I know are really deep thinkers. And I think Dave Chappelle, there's a lot of meat in Dave Chappelle's snacks. You know what I mean? Yeah, so.
And speaking of comedians, and another comedian who's really hot, I think he's the hottest comedian, Nate Bargatze. I love him. He's been on our show back before he really hit it. Before he really hit it big, he was on our show before we played the Orpheum Theater 3 years ago, maybe. This fall, he'll be playing in Trust Bank Arena in the round. That's how big he's got.
And it all started with Bob and Jeff.
It did. That's what I'm sure that's what he
I would hang your hat on that.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
no question. Yeah, it started here.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be a good replay if you had time for a replay sometime to replay that interview, so.
That would be a good one to replay. Max, do we still have that? I'll bet we do.
I'm sure you probably do.
That would be a good one to hear.
It'd be interesting going back to see before anybody really knows who he is.
He'd already done a couple of Netflix specials.
Yeah, he's been on Netflix a couple
but not like he is now.
No, he's not. He wasn't as big as he is now. And he's just exploded, and I think there's two reasons. He's tremendously funny, and he's clean. And he tells funny stories without being vulgar. And I'm certainly no prude. Yeah. There are comedians who are vulgar that I think are funny, too. But he's really funny.
Are you like me, that you find yourself watching more of the dry bar comedy?
Yeah.
After a while, there were those who were great at what they did, the Richard Pryors and so forth. They were amazing at what they did. But after a while, it gets kind of old, and if you can get a comedian that's fairly clean, that can find you, can help you laugh, they're widening an audience at that point in time, and it's a unique talent to be able to do that. It seems I don't even know if I know hardly any clean jokes.
No, I'm trying to sit here and thinking about who are the clean comedians. He's certainly one of them. We've had a bunch of them on our show. Dusty Slay, do you know him?
Yeah,
he's funny. But I love Chris Rock too, and he's hardly clean, but he's funny.
I mean, it's just a style, and once they have a style, they usually stick to it, right?
Yeah. And if they're good at it, they're good at it. I mean, Richard Pryor, what a genius he was. And then you go back and you look at some of the old Robin Williams stuff, and you look at some of the Carson stuff with the guy, what's his name, Don Rickles.
Yeah, thank you. That's my all-time favorite.
What an amazing talent that they had.
Well, he just the quick wit. I was at lunch with a friend of mine this week, and we talked about who do we watch on Carson? Who do we like to look at and look at those old videos on YouTube? And I really, of course, I've watched Rickles a million times because I've loved him. My three favorite entertainers of all time are all named Don. Can you name them?
Don Rickles. I have to go into TV.
Don Knotts.
Don Henley.
Henley.
That's where I was going to go.
There you go. That's it.
I was going to say Don Johnson, but that would have been Kathy at the old station.
No, I would have asked you to leave.
Don Johnson.
Henley, Knotts, and Rickles. All Dons.
Yeah.
But I watch Rickles. I often go and watch Rodney Dangerfield, who's funny.
Rodney Dangerfield, man, he was big when I was a kid.
Yeah.
We just lost. He was not known as a comedian, but boy, was he funny. And we just lost. You know who I'm talking about, don't you? In the sports figure.
Who's that?
Bob Uecker.
Oh, well, the day he passed away, I spent 45 minutes watching his appearances on Carson.
He was so funny.
Oh, he's tremendous.
Didn't he have just a ton of appearances on Carson?
Yes. Over 100.
Yes.
Over 100.
Over 100.
But if you, I remember, I read Jeff's Facebook post, and I can relate to it. I remember listening to him announce baseball, and you can go back and watch some of those old footage. He was just, what a talent. Absolutely.
Well, he could do everything.
He really could.
He could broadcast baseball. He was a comedian, and he was an actor.
Yeah.
You know, those commercials he did.
He was acting.
Funny, but he's acting.
He's acting in those commercials. That's correct.
And then the other guy I've recently kind of gone back is Jonathan Winters.
Yeah.
You know, I think he kind of paved the way for Robin Williams. They're very similar.
And again, on some of those old Carson shows, if you go back and look at some of the old Carson stuff.
Yeah.
And see Jonathan Winters on
there.
That's
what I mean. That's
where I go. You can see how good he was.
That's where I go to watch him.
Yeah. I felt he was shortchanged on Mork and Mindy. I felt there should have been more of him on Mork and Mindy as opposed to essentially just a voice. And but he
remember his old variety show.
Oh yeah,
right?
Oh yeah. There's some great, you know, some of those yesteryear talents. Those that have stuck around, they were certainly talented.
Old guys talking. We should do a podcast.
Two old guys.
And we're talking about
to get Jeff on there. Two old guys and a pup.
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, it's fun to talk about. And I'll tell you somebody else that I watch some of their appearances on, Johnny Carson, and that's the Smothers Brothers.
Yeah.
They were so good.
When I was a teen.
You know the Smothers Brothers?
No, I'm sitting here like, you guys are talking about some of these people. I have no idea.
When I was a kid, my grandmother had me go with her to see the Smothers Brothers at Dobbins Bennett High School in Kingsport, Tennessee.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, at the time I thought, oh boy, whoopity-doo-dah. And looking back on it, what a treat to get to see legends of that nature in so many ways, from news to, I mean, because they carried a lot of news in their day with some of the political stuff that they addressed in the ways that they addressed it.
Well,
the comedy and music.
They created Pat Paulson.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was incredible. It was
Dude,
two old
like
guys.
Have at her, boys.
Well, that's right. Listen.
I'm listening. I got no problem with it. You guys are you're hashing it out. You're loving it. Then keep going.
We're having a discussion. What can I say?
Good for
just
you.
Don't be like Jeff. Don't ignore the past because you're missing out on so much greatness. And Jeff don't ignore the past, but there's certainly some of it.
And I'm sure there's greatness today.
Yeah.
And I try to keep up with it as best I can. I think Bill Burr's funny. There's a lot of comedians that I think are funny that are current, but I was much more impressionable.
Yeah.
Back in those times.
Well, those memories last. You know, today there's Miley Ray Cyrus. Okay.
There's what?
It's
where are we going now? Where are we headed?
It's an intended, unintended slam that if that's the best that this culture has to have today, we're in trouble.
Uh-oh. I don't mind Miley Ray Cyrus. I like her.
I like her better as of recent.
I like her better than her dad. I'll put it that way.
Billy?
Did you see him
wandering
around at the inauguration?
I saw a pre-interview with him, and the interview, I thought, what?
That's what a drug addict looks like, isn't it?
I thought, what the heck? Except I didn't think heck. He's kind of lost it
a little bit. What a big song this was for Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba.
Tub thumping. This song played all the time.
And how did I not get into music? I mean, listen to that.
Well, that's a fun song.
Chumbawamba tub thumping.
So you don't like that song? Seriously.
I think it's a fun song.
I never heard it.
You never heard that song? You got to be kidding.
Oh, my God.
I'm sitting here shaking and bobbing my head as soon as it comes on.
I lived in the bush.
You have to live with your head in the sand not to know that song. Mike, it was on every other song.
Yeah, and it was the sports people played it. I mean, you could go to a ball game during intermission before the game. They were playing it. That song was everywhere.
And dance?
Yeah. Well, as soon as it came on, I have the headset on here, and as soon as it came, I start bobbing my head and shaking around. And dude is over there, never heard it.
I don't know what to say.
There's nothing for you to say.
There is nothing for me to say.
It's a simple reality.
So it's the two old guys, and today you're the pup.
Sure. When it comes to this kind of music, yeah. Only thing I kind of know, music. I kind of know country a little bit. That's it.
I think that song was probably number one on the country charts.
Chumbawamba?
It was
when,
everywhere.
When was it out? About.
Man, that's a tough one.
80s?
Yeah.
I'll try to find Chumbawamba.
I was going
to
say 90s, but.
It may have been. But it was so big when it was out that it's like, it's eternal.
It's been years since I heard it.
Yeah.
But at the time it was popular, it must have had a 3-year run of being just everywhere.
Yeah. Maybe. Well, it still gets played,
yeah,
it seems like.
Yeah, it still gets played. Of course it does. All right, let's talk. Let's get your
97.
Thoughts. 97.
Oh,
there you go.
Newer than I thought, but still older than Dude and Jeff.
Well, I was 22. I must have heard it.
You had to have heard it. I mean, they played it on the hockey bus, for crying out loud.
Oh, they didn't. They were playing some weird stuff on the bus. They're in the room, and I would always stretch and do my stuff in the other room because I couldn't handle the music. And then I'd come in 9 minutes before it was ready for warm-up, get dressed, and go.
That's so interesting. Does music just not sound good in your ears?
Yeah, no, I like music.
You just like country.
And then...
Old country or new
country?
And
then when Joe Blaznik was here, he did the music for the room. That was his thing. He loved his music. And he always the last song that we played in the room, and just about everybody was out in line. I was still getting dressed. He was still in the room. There was about 3 or 4 of us. Was Save a Horse, Ride a Cowboy. He goes, dudes, this one's for you. Since the other,
there you go.
The other 3 hours is for,
thank goodness you heard that.
The other 3 hours is for everyone else. This one's for you.
My God.
That wasn't getting played when all the groupies was around, was it?
I don't know.
That must be an affirmative to that.
I don't know how many. Maybe. I don't know. I mean,
I'm pleading the fifth right now. But
there you go.
In this situation, I think it's the safest thing for me to do.
So, Mike, you're a transplant here in this great city and state. Are you a Chiefs fan? Have they won you over?
Ever since I was a little boy, this is a true story. I grew up in Upper East Tennessee. My heritage is Native American. I'm Cherokee. And ever since I was growing up in that little area, everybody loved the Redskins, but I didn't love the Redskins. And I remember the Chiefs playing the Green Bay Packers. This is dating myself, back in those first two Super Bowls, and falling in love with the team that I, as a Cherokee, could identify with, and have loved the Chiefs ever since.
Wow.
The days of Lynn Dawson. And to get to live in Kansas and to see them win a Super Bowl, now going on 3, I'm living on, back home we'd say hog wild.
It really is amazing what they've done and what they continue to do. And here they are. I don't know. Buffalo beat them once. I don't expect Buffalo to go into Kansas City and win, but they could certainly do it. It's hard to wrap my head around the idea that the Chiefs aren't going to win Sunday. You agree, Duda?
Well, it's hard to say that they're not going to win because of the way they play, and we've talked about this today on the show with Reed and Mahomes. And you just have those two, and they always seem to find a way. I think Buffalo is going to be – it's going to be tough.
It's tough, yeah.
It's going to be a tough game. Josh Allen is playing unbelievable. That defense is playing a lot better. It's going to be a good game. But if it comes down to the fourth quarter and it's close, I have to take Mahomes and Reed. I don't see how I can't.
At the end of the game, it's hard not – if the Chiefs have the ball last, and it's a one-score game, it's hard not to pick the Chiefs.
They're almost mystical in that way.
It's been that way for three years.
And as a
side, if they have the ball, you're exactly right, Mike. If they have the ball at the end of the game and it's tied or they're down by a score, you just chalk it up as a win.
They don't have a guy that's going to drop a pass in that situation like Mark Andrews.
No, I can't believe
the Chiefs are
going
to catch the pass. And I don't know how. I don't know why.
The other thing is that they're wide open all of a sudden. Like,
yeah.
It's not like it's a difficult, like, look at the game winning, the overtime winning catch last year. Like, Mahomes could have handed it to Hardman in the end zone.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, how they do it.
Here's my theory, and it's going to be a simple theory, and it's not anything I should hang my hat on. They have the best coach in the league. They have the best general manager in the league. They have the best quarterback in the league. And when you have that trio, that triumph, that
and their defense.
You're going to win. This is a league built on quarterback, coach, and front office. And they rarely make a mistake.
But even last year, you look, their defense really carried them for a lot of the year last year.
They had to build their defense.
But
it used to be all offense.
So you have those three, but then
they lost some offensive weapons. They knew their offense wasn't going to be the firepower. I mean,
everybody knew that.
They haven't scored 30 points in a game this year.
And that's crazy to think about. And they went, they're 16-1 in their 17 games.
But now they've built a defense. They've kind of put the correct Band-Aids on their offensive line. We're not talking about that being atrocious anymore. It's not their strength, but it's good enough. And here they are. Isaiah Pacheco hasn't been what we thought he would be since he's returned from injury. But they bring in Kareem Hunt. He does a good job. They find these guys that are going to, you know, DeAndre Hopkins was a tremendous pickup. Worthy's figuring it out. Hollywood, I think Hollywood's going to have a big game Sunday. It's unbelievable.
I think another nail biter, and I love the Chiefs, but I've been a fan of the Bills since the days of Jim Braxton. And I don't know if you know who that is, but Braxton's the one that opened up the hose. He was the fullback for O.J. Simpson back in the day. And I like the Bills, just their conditioning plan, and the weather's not going to be an issue for them, and it's going to be a good game.
It's going to be an unbelievable game. All right, we've come to the end. Thanks to Jason Duda. Thanks to Mike Furches for being with me on a Wednesday. I appreciate it. It's good to see you guys. Have a good evening. To all of you listening, have a good evening as well. We'll be back tomorrow.